Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. Doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So once again, it is another blessed day in Christ. Thank God for the Word of God and for His Spirit. This for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know, it's Friday. You know what that means, heart to heart, with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I'll be joining them. And as we await for my brother to come on, I once again want to thank God for all you've been listening to us on Blog Talk Radio over these past 3 years. I say may the Lord continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. And we thank God for another blessed day, a joyful day to rejoice in the Lord. For the promises of God are sure, amen, and God is a keeper of His Word. So we're grateful to that He is a keeper of His Word, amen. Are you not grateful to be serving the true living God who keepeth His Word, amen? And I just see the Lord fulfilling the prayer request that has come up before His ears this day. I see the Lord bringing joy to His people over what He's about to shower down. Amen. And He's worthy, people, to be praised and to be glorified and to be lifted up, to be magnified. Amen. Above all the earth. And there is none greater than Almighty God. So we want to keep that in mind, you know, as we are going through this day and the many challenges we've been facing. We want to keep in mind that no one is greater than our God. Amen. No one is greater than Him, people. No one can do for you like He can. So we want to keep that in remembrance. And when the enemy comes and start talking this noise to you, telling you to give up, turn on God and all that, keep that in mind and know there's no one like God, and no one ever will be like Him. Amen. He is truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to that I say glory to His name. Amen. Glory to His name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hidabadabashita glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is worthy to be praised and worthy to be glorified. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God once again for this day in Christ Jesus. I thank God for being my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Watch. Wait and see the blessings of the Lord to come near even unto your households this day. I declare it in Jesus' name. I know that there are greater things that are yet to come. There are more challenges that we're going to face. But you know what? He's still God. And no matter what challenges you face, it doesn't change Him from being who He is. Now, for me to sit here and say that you're going to understand every move, everything that he's doing, I'm not going to say that to you. I say God will give you understanding. Because there are many times that God is doing particular things that I have to be honest with you, I don't understand. And I have to tell him, I say, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. But if you hold on, understanding will come. Amen? If you hold on, understanding will come. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom. Shalom, shalom, my brother. Yeshua Mashiach, the Holy One of Israel. Okay. I think, and I find joy. I find it a joy that we again meet together and to share this great moment in the history of God's planning, another day the Lord has given us. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to testify, to share, to reveal and talk about the goodness of our Lord Jesus and his plan for our mankind. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Hello?
I can hear you pretty good.
Yeah, okay. So, the network been working all pretty good this week?
Well, no, we've been having some disturbances down this way, especially the past few days with the internet and all that stuff. And I since yesterday, the Satan has had his hand in there, and so I started binding the enemy yesterday.
Okay. All right. Well, it just wouldn't be a devil if he didn't try to interfere. He just wouldn't be a devil. You know, he's not going to change or be transformed. He's just going to be a devil. And if things don't get a little rough or a little difficult at times, it just ain't like a devil, because he's got to be a devil, because that's what he is forever, you know?
Amen.
So
amen.
We had to bear with to deal with it. So it's a look like, I don't know, we're going to have summer. Probably ain't going to be last too long here. And seemed like it this week we did get a little cool breeze, 58 up to 68 a couple of days. So we've been enjoying it and rejoicing in it and just waiting on the good old Chicago windy city breeze off of the lake so we can be blessed.
Amen.
So if you all don't want to had any cool or snow, just ship it this way. It's okay. It's all right. Okay?
Yeah, we'd be happy to ship the snow your way. Trust me. That won't be a problem.
Well, make sure you ship the money so you can get rid of it, too. Ship it away.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. But I think so, we know we just don't want that of it, though. I believe we just come to the conclusion we don't want any of it, though.
Okay, this is Handmaiden Tonight, heart to heart and face to face. And wherever you are, in our hemisphere or out of our hemisphere, we want to greet you and welcome you and invite you to be a part, to listen and to share with the glorious news about the gospel of Christ and the kingdom of God coming to the earth. So how do you all the days go pretty good? Are your broadcasts, Robert, this week?
Amen. Brother, it went extremely well. Once again, like you said, it wouldn't be the devil not to interfere. Yesterday, Satan interfered to a point. I think I got on the broadcast a few minutes late, but I started buying the enemy. Brother Robert called in. Couldn't hear him at first. He had to call back in. You know, all that delight, all that good things happen. And above all, He just didn't know that Satan just really fired me up, and I really wanted to get that message out, and we did. So, amen.
Yeah, you had to give a little push, huh? And
oh, yeah, he gave a great push.
Huh?
He gave a great push, but we appreciate it.
Well, when you're giving out an important message to the world and to all nations, you don't think the devil just going to sit idly by and clap his hands, do you, and say, happy, happy? No, I think not. I think not. He opposed the Lord Jesus. You know he's going to oppose. He opposed the prophets all the way through the scriptures, so he's going to be the same devil. But that's how we're going to overcome him, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we'll move forward. Just a wonderful, glorious day. We're still alive, breathing. And it's a glorious day, Lord. Give thanks to the saints everywhere and acknowledge them everywhere, and especially the women, as we celebrate the women of God in a special way and recognition on Friday and Saturday, the great work and evangelists and the great blessing that God has chosen the women, the mothers and the wives and whatever they need to bless their families and bless the earth, raising children and doing works that's going to benefit mankind. So I'm so glad, especially the different missionaries that go to many nations. Many of them are women, and they're the backbone. I call it the women, the backbone of the church, or what we call the body of, and not only in the body of Christ areas, but doing good works all over the earth and blessing people and strengthening the home and preparing children to be tomorrow's nations prepared. So I just thank God and recognize all of the women in past and in the future and that are standing all over the nation who are dealing with a lot of problems. Sometimes their husbands are killed. They got children and they're bearing on. So I just going to lift up and thank God for the courageous women all around the earth. So I was just thinking, if we came on the broadcast Block Talk, great and marvelous things the Lord has planned and purpose. Great and marvelous things are in the planning of the Lord God. Great, wonderful, marvelous things that's going to give the devil a big bellyache and headache. And the Lord God is planning so many victories for his people. And so I'm just so grateful to thank the Lord in advance. Just a lovely day. I'm grateful, brother. I don't I go out. And the pandemic, you know, it doesn't stop me because, you know, we got to walk on top of the pandemic and say, get back, I'm coming through. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, the Bible tells us that the true redeemed body believers of Christ, the kingdom of God, has authority and dominion in the earth over all things. And I think we gotta start exercising it. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I agree 100%.
All right. Now I was thinking, I've been thinking off and on about this thing that Jesus taught about, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And, you know, as you listen to the what we call the political and social and city news every night, every day, you hear confusion, strife, and bitterness and division all over the place. So it's like a political war, but it actually is a spiritual war. And what we are seeing is a spiritual war between two kingdoms. And one is about to go down and one is about to arise. So I think the conflict is seen to be political and social and cultural, but actually it's the devil and his cohorts are really behind, because they don't want to get out of the way and their time is up. And so Jesus said, the kingdom of God in Christ is about to come and fill the earth. So Satan is putting up a little fight.
Amen.
Oh, you still there, brother?
Yes, sir.
All right. You know, I was talking about house. I want to read this scripture. You want to get this scripture for me in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 to 29. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 and 29. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 24 to 29.
Okay. Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 24 to 29, right?
Yes.
Okay. The word of God says, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.' And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?'"
Wow. A very important lesson about division and warfare. Division and warfare. I want you to read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, and verse 23 to 27. Mark, chapter 3, verse 23, verse
Mark
27. Yeah, chapter 3 of Mark, verse 23.
Okay, Mark chapter 23, verse 27. And the word says, and he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but have an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he will first bind a strong man, and then he will spoil his house."
Okay, we're having a little sound barrier. Is that on my mind or your area? Or I'm having a little sound. The sound is not very clear, or loud, or distinct. So I don't know if it's on my line or yours.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sound like you're far off, though. I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, now I think it's more, I believe it's more on my end.
Okay. Well, we had to talk a little louder, and like John the Baptist cried loud, we just have to cry loud, spare not.
Amen.
Our voice has a ring like a mountain between two mountains. So, we talk about the vision and how Satan strategy has been from the beginning to divide and conquer. And he's still the same strategy and planning and works that he has done from the beginning to divide and conquer and have the divided to turn against one another. Now, you know, when Satan was on trial, and he was tested, and he started a rebellion against the Most High God, and he thought he had enough Democrats or Republican votes to overthrow God. But
Amen.
It's the same war that's going now in America. Satan thought that he had the majority. He divided these angels or separated them or caused a division. And one third of the one of the 30 of the angels fell for the okie. And Satan, apparently, he thought he had enough Republicans and Democrats to overthrow the Most High God. But he found he fell short. Can't you see the same scenario, in a sense, going in America and around the world? They're so divided and trying to overthrow one. But I was just saying, this division and strategy to conquer started with the rebellious Satan. He started when he was in heaven and tried to overthrow and conquer and take a position that was not his to have, that is to take the seat of the Most High God and overthrow the Most High, and he take control. And so what he did, he got the other angels. I don't know how long this division plan began and how long it lasted, but apparently it took for a while for him to get one-third of the angels to follow after him. So when he got down to the earth with Adam and Eve, when the Lord God noticed that, here's the trick about this division. In heaven, in the throne of God, Most High God, Yahweh and his Son and the Holy Spirit, they are one. And the first thing you find out the importance of oneness, when the in the creation, the Father, the eternal God, says, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness. Let us." So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are connected in one mind, one thought, in one plan and purpose in all things. No disunity, no division. And you see it all the way through the scripture. They are one. Hallelujah. And thank God. But Satan caused a division, and he tried to overthrow. When he got down to the earth, and Adam and Eve, he got the weaker one, because apparently he went to the weaker one, the woman, to persuade her, to divide her from her husband. The division, and he's whispering to Eve, and they're having a conversation. He's sneaking and having a conversation and drawing her aside and convincing her or leading her, seducing her, and saying, to divide her from what the Word of God says, to separate from the word of the Creator. And he says to Eve, "Did God say?" And here he's calling another division in the earth. And you notice that at the time, he waits till Adam is in another part of the garden, and he get Eve and draw her by herself to divide her. This is the strategy of the enemy. This is the strategy of the devil from the beginning to now. Hallelujah. And he's working that same old rope-a-dope on the nations of the earth and also upon America in particular. Because if he wants to take over the earth, he has to destroy America. See, here's the thing that people don't understand. Satan cannot move forward with his plan to conquer the earth and all the nations until he destroyed America, Jerusalem, and the Christian church. Now, he has to divide the redeemed believers in Christ and have them to fight against one another if he's going to conquer. He has to start with the home, dividing the home and the marriage and the children and the social and the culture. He's turning people and places against one another and warring against one another. This trick of division, it's working fairly well so far. But this division tactic, you can see it this now in America on Top Chef, when our government, our federal government, and the in government who are elected in offices are fighting like cats and dogs. Am I right about it? Correct me, bro.
Amen. Amen. You're right.
You see this derision and the strife and division is all over the earth. Hallelujah. And especially in a Christian nation, the most blessed and most favorable nation on the planet of the earth, America the Beautiful, is torn by strife, division, cultural, race, and political power. And every day the devil is working his mojo. Strife and bitterness, hate, and adolescency, acting like two children fighting over a bone, a dog over a bone. And they're using harsh, vindictive, destructive words, strife and bitterness, divided against one another. Like when the stuff that you hear from the president, from his cabinet and the Democrats, the stuff you hear, you would think they were mortal enemies. Like the Philistines against Israel. You would think that, right? The way they're acting, right?
Amen. Amen.
But if that demon, that same demon, hallelujah, it's that same principality that's doing the same thing he has done from the fall of man. That same demon, that prince, who's to stir up strife and bitterness and separation against nation, against home, against marriage and children, against mama. And, you know, the Bible says in the end days, you'll see in the 10th chapter of Matthew that father and mother will be divided, and husband and wife, and communities and cultures and race, and we see it happening right now. Am I right about it, or am I wrong?
Amen, you're right about it.
And he's causing conflict wherever he can. And you see hatred all over the earth, bitterness, anger, fighting for control. What are they fighting for? For control, brother, for power. They're fighting over power and greed and dominance. Who's behind it? Got them acting like animals? Oh, broke wing, one-eyed devil. Can I get a Baptist amen or something?
Amen. Amen.
A house divided can be easily conquered. Now listen, Jesus told them Jerusalem was overthrown 70 A.D. and make a desolate place. America is in that same predicament. This is one of the most crucial times in American history. So that's why it's important for you to declare, you and the brothers, blow your horn loud and clear, distinctly, into all the earth. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Blow the trumpet in Zion. And all the nations of the earth, this gospel, this restored gospel of Christ in the earth. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Be not cast down. Blow the trumpet. Joel chapter 2, Isaiah 60 says, in all his holy mountains, blow it. That John the Baptist did the Jordan River. John the Baptist cried out into the cities, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God and Christ is here, and the Messiah is at hand. So it is now. So it is now. A house divided. Now, you know how the devil's strategy. You know what happened when the 12, what is it, spies went over to spy the land out? Was it, yeah, 12 spies? What happened? Division took, what happened? When they went to spy out the land, the land that it was given by the Most High God, Yahweh gave them the land to go possess it, and he sent out reports to take 12 men and send them out to spy the land out. When they came back, they were divided. What happened? 10 of these 12 men had a report, a bad report, a fear report, not a faith report, a divided report against the will of God. Because God said, the land is yours, go take it, I've given it to you. They brought a report back, we cannot do it. No. No, oh, we look like grasshoppers in the sight of them giants. We can't do it. So that was the vision, right?
Amen. Amen.
And only two of the 12 men had a report that was pleasing to Jehovah. And the two men, Caleb and Joshua. The 10 was divided and said, no, we can't. We can't conquer the land. Too many giants. We look like grasshoppers. We can't do anything. Jehovah, we're going against your report. Most High God, I know you brought us out of Egypt, but we're going against you, Lord God. We're going to divide what you say. We're not going to believe your report that we can possess the land. We're going to reject it. We're going to take a part with fear. We're going to side with fear. We're not going to side with faith. Faith in the promise of God. So the vision, right?
Amen.
Now, understand why the devil is creating this, because he has not changed. The devil is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll say this again. I say the devil, because of his fallen nature, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the same principle goes to the kingdom of darkness. They can't change, and they're not going to change. The devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. He can't change from that. That's what he is. The Bible says, Jesus said in 8th chapter of John, he's the liar, the father of lies. He's not going to stop deceiving. He's not going to start killing, murdering, and afflicting in the 10th chapter of John. He's the killer, a murderer, a deceiver, a manipulator, one that divides and conquers. He uses division against righteousness, against the people of God that mean well. He starts at the home, because that's the place the Lord created first, the home. And then he works from the home, because the home is the first place where nations are built, the marriage. Now, I know we got a lot of what they call sleep-ins and sleep-outs, brother, what they call them. They don't believe in marriage and covenant and relationship.
A lot of them, right?
They divided against marriage. Oh, we don't believe in the covenant of marriage. I know God brought them together and said, man and woman come to marriage. We don't believe that. We divided against that. So we got a nation now that don't believe in the plan and the creative plan of God. He called them male and female. They are divided against it. And Satan has got to divide against the plan of God about a man and a woman being married. Now the devil has divided the nation on this cursed deception about, it's okay. Two men can marry two women and bisexual and transsexual. So the devil don't cause strife and division, right?
Amen.
That's his nature, to divide, to deceive and conquer. And he's doing it too. I see he's working with all his might. I said he's doing it with all of his might. So we have to work for the Lord with all of our might and all of our strength and all of our dedication. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the works of the living God. When he rose from the dead, his son conquered death, the grave, and Satan. Thank God for them. So, listen. There were only two men that came out with a good report when the spies went out to spy the land of Canaan. Ten of them defected and went against the plan and the word of God. Is that happening today? The majority,
amen,
don't rule in God's kingdom. The majority may move in man's kingdom, but a majority don't rule in God's kingdom. God's kingdom says, my word is Alpha and Omega. One vote. You can vote against me if you want, but my vote carries up. Jesus said, my vote carries, it's the Alpha and Omega, it's the beginning and I got the last say-so and the first say-so. So you can vote all you want against my word, vote against my kingdom. You just won't get the benefits, but my word will stand. In the kingdom of God, there's no democracy. There's a theocracy. He is Lord. No voting, Democrat or Republican. My vote. and my word carries. Hit the gavel, my word stands. I know men don't believe it. They go against it, and they divide against what the gospel says. So what do we have in earth today? People rejecting, dividing, and separating themselves from the gospel of Jesus Christ as written, and won't put something else in its place. Is that right? Put something else in its place. I call it a replacement theology, a replacement gospel, but not the real true gospel of the book of Acts. So I just thought I'd start out a house divided.
Amen.
Okay. You want to make a comment, brother?
Amen, brother. You're definitely right on that, because this is the thing we must see, the division. Like you said, Satan has been working at doing in the nation, the home, and the church. And I think many of us as Christians have failed to see him putting his plan in motion.
Now, the devil is afraid of unity. Now, he requires unity among his demonic kingdom. He requires them to be on one accord. You know, the devil requires the demons to work on one accord. They don't have to love one another. They don't have to like one another. They can hate one another. But they got to work on one accord. Is that right? Them demons got to work together, because else they're going to get a whooping if they don't. They're going to get a beat. So, see, demons don't have love. So they can't love even one another. But they have loyalty. They're bound with loyalty. Demons are bound by a covenant of loyalty. When they rebel against the Most High, they were covered forever together in darkness with loyalty to the rebellious one. So when they operate, they have to be divided, working against one another, and the devil requires all the demons of God to work together in one accord. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, that's why in heaven, all the angels and all the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one in accord. No division, no separation, no fighting, no argument, no debate. Amen. But Satan, when he fell, he drew one third, and they have to, because of loyalty in rebellion forever, sealed forever, they must, every demon, every devil, the big ugly one, the handsome one, the little ones, the little finite ones, they all have to work together in unity against in evil. Unity in evil, unity in wickedness, unity in unrighteousness, unity to destroy and deceive. They are in unity. So here, Satan hates unity. Listen, he does not want the people of God or the nations of the earth to operate in oneness for good, for that which is excellent, that which is beneficial. Nor does he want them to work that which is righteous in the sight of the Most High God. So you notice that all of the earth that's fighting and division, right?
Amen.
I mean, all over the earth, dead land, all you can hear reading the paper is division and fighting and coming against. Now, there's a difference between coming against evil and wickedness. But we're going to find out the unity that is important, that Satan does not want a unity to exist among home and marriage, children and fathers and mothers for good, and for community to work together for good and peace and righteousness, for our government, our social order, for righteousness, good, and peace, and united it. No, he doesn't want that. Not for good. Now, he wants you to work together for evil. Now, notice it, brother. When the drunkards be drinking in the street, they mostly stick together, right?
Amen.
The alcoholic drug addicts stick together, unified to get more drugs, right? Even though they may not like one another, but they'd be working together for the same cause. Do you notice one of the most strange things I noticed different cultures unite themselves many times together. There's a race. Many people, because of race, ethnic, sometimes they work together and stay together for a while, but they still wind up fighting one another because of the evil nature that's in them. Hallelujah. Because of the nature that's in them. Even though they got the same skin color or race color, they still have hate and bitterness and strife working in them. Hallelujah. So the problem ain't the skin, it's the sin in them, not the skin. It's the heart in them. The heart is divided against God, and they're divided against one another. You know why people are against one another? Because they're divided against the Most High God. Their nature, as Ephesians says, they're separate and dead from God, and therefore they're fighting and killing one another. Division. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Hallelujah. Now listen, I want to read something here in Numbers chapter 13 about why Satan does not want good to be united, does not want the body of Christ, the believers, the people in the gospel, the Christian, be united. He doesn't want nations to work together for good. He doesn't want nations to stand together for that which is excellent, good, or beneficial. He calls division and decisions because evil wants to destroy, and it's working in all nations. Now, Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. Numbers 13, beginning at verse 1.
Okay, the book of Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The book of Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse 1. And the word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send out men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names of the tribes of Reuben: Shemura, the son of Zakur, of the tribe of Simeon; Shaphat, the son of Hori, of the tribe of Judah; Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribes of Issachar; Igal, the sons of Joseph, of the tribe of Ephraim; Oshea, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Benjamin; Palti, the son of Raphu, of the tribe of Zebulun; Gadiel, the son of
Sarai." Now, I want to interrupt this. He sent 12 men from Israel to spy out the land that he had gave them as a possession. He had spoke to them, "I have covenant with them. This is your land. I've given it to you. Go and possess it. Take it." They were divided. When they brought the report back, 10 against 2. 10 had a bad report. The two, Joshua and Caleb, was of another spirit. They brought a good report. They said, "We can conquer. We can possess it. Let's go over and take it. We're able to well able to conquer them giants. Let's go over. We have the word of God, the promise of the Most High God. We have the covenant and the power of great Jehovah with us. Let us go and conquer it. Let's speedily go and obey." Majority, 10 against 2. Outvoted. Outnumbered. So 10 don't make you right because you got a majority, right?
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Two men, Joshua and Caleb. Now, that represented generation, and we are dealing with the same generation today, Joshua and Caleb versus the 10 in Christianity right now and in America. All right, the same phenomenon is happening in America and in the church world and in the business world and in the culture. This division, schism, and fighting, and destructive. One is evil, one is not so good. Now, we go to Genesis chapter 11, why Satan hate unity among that which is good and right, that which is righteous. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 and 8. If the people begin to
Genesis
unite.
Chapter 11?
Yes, beginning of verse 1 to
you
8.
You said verse 28, right?
No, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 to 8.
Genesis chapter 11, beginning from verse 1 to verse 8. The word of God. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city.
Okay. Now, let's stop there. This is a very important point. They were united in one in that which was a evil. Now, listen to what it was. They were not united in the righteousness of good or in the plan and purpose of the Creator, the Maker. They were united and that which was evil and wicked against the plan of the great Creator, great Jehovah, Yahweh. They were united in evil. What did the Lord God says? What did he say? Even though they were united in evil, they were one. They were one in evil. They were united with one mind, one language, one goal. They were not in evil. Can you imagine if the people of good, people of excellent, people of righteousness were united as one? What's it going to come? If evil can use that principle of oneness and united together, look what the Lord God said. They were evil. They was planning. They was going against the plan and the purpose of the Most High God. The Satan had influenced them to build a kingdom or a tower, to a government, into the heavens against the will of God. Now, if they were united for evil, and the Lord God says nothing can stop them from accomplishing because they are one. Look what the Lord God said about these evil people. They were totally united in one, in their purpose, in their planning, in their language, and their goal. Look what it says. The Lord God came down and said, these people are about to accomplish. We have to stop them. Because why? The principle of united one. They were not divided. They had one goal, one purpose, one plan, one language, working towards one purpose to build another kingdom outside of the will of God, another government, another rule, a dominion that Satan was influencing them to do. And the Lord God says, what? Let us, and listen to it, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, said, let us, let's see they're about to accomplish this evil goal. We have to scatter them because we have to stop them because that which they have put in their hearts to do, even though it's wicked, they're united. They are one, and they will accomplish it. They will accomplish it. You notice in the mafia, in the crime lords, they make you take an oath of being united one, a blood oath. They want you have to be one in the mafia, in the gangs, in the covenant of evil. The devil wants you to swear an oath, a blood oath, to be one, united, to lay down your life for one another, not break from it, not to deter from it. For evil, Satan wants you to be one. The witches and warlocks have to swear they have to be one for the purpose of Satan. The sorcerers, the demons, the tyrants that rule nations. If the people of good those that desire that which is right and excellent and beneficial, or even those that are redeemed in Christ, which is the greater, will unite in one heart and one mind. Imagine, just imagine, start at, if Adam and Eve had stood together one and the devil could not divide them, there would be no iniquity sin in the earth. But he caused the division in thought. He manipulated Eve into thinking another thought aside from the Lord. What Satan does, he wants you to think a thought outside of the word of God, the will of God. He wants you to make a decision outside of the gospel, out of the will of God. And so he'll plant an idea in another person's mind, another one's thought, and they'll come in sometime collision and divided over evil and good. Listen, the Bible says one can chase a what? A thousand. This is what he said about the righteous. Even those, he said, one can chase a what? A thousand. And 10,000. And two can put 10,000 to a flight. Is that right?
That's right.
Can you imagine what three or four can do?
Amen.
Five or six, seven or eight, a whole community, a whole household. Can you imagine a whole community, a whole household, starting there, a whole family? Wow, for good. But you notice that the people, usually when they're falling in sin and iniquity, they link together on the same evil. I noticed one thing, brother. I know a lot of people misunderstood this statement before I turned over about the oneness and uniting. I don't mean this in a very arrogant, a super uncaring way, but I'm going to make a statement here to try to give you an understanding about being united and one. Jesus died for all and gave his life for all. I said Jesus gave his life and laid down his life for all sinners and all that are lost, every person, no matter who they are, what they are, what kind of sinner, or what kind of trap they're in. He gave his life to set them free, to redeem them. No matter what the evil is or the wickedness is, he loves all. He don't love their sins. He came to set the captive free. No, he doesn't love their sinful wicked acts. So don't get confused. He loved the person. That's why he gave his life. Romans 5 said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we yet against him, he gave his life for us to redeem us. So he's not against people. He is against the sin that Satan has got them locked in, the darkness that they're bound in. I noticed one thing about a group of people, just like alcoholics and drug addicts and racists. You notice that people have a racist spirit. They bind together. Okay.
Amen.
In their culture, there's a racist demon. Do you hear me, brother?
Amen. I hear you clear.
There is a demon, a racist demon, one of the strongest demons in the earth, called a racist demon. And people that are racist against a certain group, they unite, stand together as a culture, as color, against that group. No matter what station of life is, they say, we are this and we are against the headaches and this. And by their skin or their racial culture, that racist demon is one of the strongest demons in the earth. And you see they united one against a certain group, a certain skin. Now, I'm going to show you another strong demon that got people divided. It's called the homosexual demon. You have to pray for me, brother, but I got to make this statement.
Amen.
Yet you have to forgive me because I love all sinners and want to see them redeemed no matter who they are. God is no respecter of sin. All sin is unrighteousness in his sight. Big sin, great sin, mighty sin, abominations, iniquity, all of it, unrighteousness. Now, I notice a strong demon to have unity among homosexual people. No matter what color homosexual people are, you have noticed this. No matter what color or what culture you come from, homosexual spirit, they are united. Did you get that, brother?
Amen.
Correct me if I'm wrong. If you're a black
you're right about it.
Black homosexual, the white homosexual, the Puerto Rican, they all stand together. You go to a bar, you see a Chinese, Puerto Rican, Caucasian, or whatever homosexual, they got that same spirit and they stand together. They're united. You get the point, don't you? Now, when I stopped in St. Louis back here several years ago in St. Louis, Missouri on the train and went up to St. Louis, they were having a pride, what they call a pride parade, that is other people that don't believe in the male and female that God created. They created a pride section. They had a pride parade in St. Louis, and they were all what we call homosexual people, or transgenders or whatever. And they were marching because they were so proud. It was coming out. They just passed a ruling in the Supreme Court about same-sex union. And they were marching, and they were all one. And I stood on the street. There were white ones. There were cultural educated ones. There were black ones. There was brown ones. There was black, and they all was hugging one another no matter what color, what race, because that spirit is united no matter what color. They stand together. Wherever they see another homosexual, they greet them, no matter what color they are. I don't think that homosexuals don't let color get in their way from being one, united in that homosexual. I've seen and observed that they are strong, united, no matter what color they are. So I just gave these examples. Now, the devil do not want us to be one in righteousness or good of that which is excellent. But I want to say, I want you to read something, and then I turn it over to Psalms 133 in the first three verses. Why Satan works to divide, to create hate, to separate, to war against one another.
Psalms 133, verse 1-3. Okay. The word of God says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Now, you notice this thing about unity of the righteous or the redeemed, how good and pleasant. What does this bring about among the righteous cause of God or the redemption when they are? But Satan must divide with strife and bitterness and doctrines and differences and traditions of men and skin color and cultural color and all the other colors to divide and have them turn against one another. Satan not only wants you to divide, he wants you to turn against, and then he wants you to turn against that which is right and the gospel. Now he's separating people from the gospel and the Bible. And you got one in the family, I don't believe the Bible, and I don't believe in that junk. And the other, the son, he don't want the righteousness, and, well, I don't believe in that mess. And he's dividing and conquering. He's using evil and wickedness to divide and conquer, to turn away from the plan and purpose of God in Christ, who gave his life to die and rose again. Now, he's using disunity in a very powerful way in our American government and way of life. He's using racism, socialism, the Democrats as a government body. We're in the most vicious war, political war we ever seen, one of the greatest in American history, to destroy America. Satan is turning, just like the Civil War, when brother was against brother in the Civil War. During the Civil War, brother, one in the Union Army, one was in the Confederate, and they were brother and sons and father against one another. Satan is using the same tactic to destroy America again. This is a never civil war, but it's a spiritual war. We're going to call it a civil war. The Democrats, the Republicans, have you ever seen such mudslinging and division and hatred, destroying one another, flesh against flesh? They're fighting like demons are on them. Have you noticed this happening in America?
Amen.
Unity in evil and unity in righteousness. So, okay, we're going to call our, we're going to stop here. When Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew, I want you to read this before I turn it over to the sisters, in the 12th chapter of Matthew, verse 24 and 29 again. A house divided, a nation divided, a home divided, a community divided. Yes.
Okay, Matthew
chapter 12, verse 24 and 29.
24 through 29. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if by Beelzebub casts out, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind a strong man, and when he will, and then he will spoil his house."
Now, I don't have time to explain, but the house divided. They was accusing Jesus of witchcraft and sorcery, of using demon works to cast out devils. And he said, "How is Satan divided against himself? If he casting his own self out, his kingdom going to be destroyed. Why would he? I'm doing, you know, Satan don't cast his own self out or work against his own self." And he put them to task for accusing him of being sorcery, a witchcraft of sort, casting out demons. Now, notice Jesus was explaining several things here. In casting out demons, you have to get the strong man first, because when people have demons, they usually have a strong man over them. He's the leader, the head demon, and all the demons are under him. In order to remove the other demons, you really have to get the strong man, remove him first. And notice when Jesus, in the fifth chapter, what is it, Mark, or I don't know, what's that, Mark, or eighth chapter, Mark, when a man was full of demons and he was in the cemetery, just had a mental demon, a what they call a lunatic demons, and he had all kind of demons, and he had so many of them in him that he was killing and mocking and howling and screaming, and nobody could bind him. They had to put chains on him, and he would break the chains. So he was full of demons, and Jesus came that way, and the man ran to Jesus, and the demons in him, in the man, said, "We know who you are, Jesus. We know who you are." And the man wanted help. He still had the mind to want to help. He ran to Jesus. And as long as you run to Jesus, you ain't, it's not too late for you. As long as you got the mind to run to Jesus, it's not too late for you. Got a mind for hope and help. The devil ain't got complete control over you yet, even though he was demon oppressed and possessed. The man cried out and bowed at Jesus, and the demons in the man said, "We know you, Son of God. We know you are. You come to destroy us before time." And Jesus said for them to come out of the man. But they didn't come out right there. So Jesus says, "What's your name?" He got the strong man, the leader. He said, "My name is Legion." So he cast out the strong man. All the other demons had to go. The strong man that ruled was named Legion. And then when he asked them what his name is, "Legion, I'm many. Many are under me." So Jesus told the strong man, leave. He spoiled him and cast them out. All the other hundreds of demons or whoever was in him came out because they was under the strong man. We have to all time get the strong man in many people before we can set them free. And we had to learn to pray. And sometimes the other problems in their lives, you had to deal first with the core of the strong man. All right. Where the women, brother, we'll stop here about the unity. You know, when you attack the devil, I know Brother Clark and I, we would often deal with a lot of demon-oppressed people, all kind of demons when we was witnessing and going to house. And so we always, his wife and I, would bind our faith and work together. We did not work against one another. We worked in the same spirit and in one faith in order to get people free, because you have to bind yourself to follow and to lead to get people free. And sometimes Sister Clark would lead in prayer because the anointing was on her to lead to prayer. And I know they go against some traditions of men, but I don't worry about no tradition of men. When you're trying to set people free, you have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't care about no rules or no church. I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit because that's the only way you're going to get people free. So Sister Clark, being a woman, the anointing was on her to start leading in prayer. Then Brother Clark would follow through, and I would follow through as the Spirit of God lead, working together to bind and loose the people from the oppressor. And sometimes it took long time dealing with the spoil to get the strong man out of there. And so if you have never wrestled a warrior with demons, because we don't war against flesh and blood, we war against principalities and powers. And when you pray with people, a lot of times you can't pray. You have to command certain things to be broken of their lives. It can go either way as you're led by the Holy Spirit. Listen, the angel of the Lord that came from heaven in 88 message told us we had war with the devil. He said, therefore, come against him, break his yoke by true belief. Are we obeying that command? No, I don't think so. Not many. All right. Where's our sisters at?
I'm going to give them a minute, brother.
Where are the women?
I'm going to give them a minute, brother.
Name.
They should. Hopefully they'll be on in a minute. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Okay. I'm going to give them a minute. Hopefully they'll be on in a minute.
Hallelujah. Now, where they're coming, the Bible says to the believers, the redeemed believers, if God be for you, who can be against you? For greater is he that is for you than he that be against you. Now, one redeemed, Holy Ghost-filled person can deal with many have authority and power. If he united with two, he has greater victory. If he united with three, he's attacking the kingdom of darkness. Listen, my wife and I used to go into homes, and the Spirit of God was on her in warfare and spiritual intercession. She would lead, because I know that was the works of God. Now, if you don't learn the working of the Holy Spirit and how he works, many people got their little protocol and their little rules. And the devil don't care nothing about your little protocol and your rules, baby. He don't care nothing about no church rules and no regulations. You hear me? When you're dealing with spiritual darkness, you got to follow the direct leading of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Okay, sisters. Hello.
God bless
Hello.
You, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
Yes, brothers. God bless you. How are you?
Another blessed
thank
day,
God,
dear
for the
sister.
Conversation. Amen. Amen. It is for me, too. It is for me and for my household, and I thank the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, I was just listening, and thank God for the lesson in the discussion, the lesson coming out of it, because I'm going to say I'm in training to learn to pray to bind that strong man. And I thank and I praise the Lord because even, you know, as you've spoken and the word said, that, you know, if Jesus is for you, who can be against you? And I've been telling them, I believe that word and I stand on that word. I stand on it.
Okay, thank Unity, you. He's got America ready for destruction because remember the war that's going on in America is actually spiritual war, even though it's in the political government agenda and working in the social and in the government area where the demons are ruling. He has got our government torn, separated, and destroying and coming against one another. This is a strategy Satan has used often. He starts, he's now at the head of the government, the seat of our civilization to destroy, but he got to divide and conquer. And so America is going deep, and our government, and every day you hear they fall into the traps of everybody is slinging mud and condemning from the White House to the outhouse. Our president, he should know better. He should know you better. The Democrats, they're doing the same thing. The devil demon over there and the demon over the Republicans, the demon over the socialists, and they're working together to divide and conquer. We're warring a flesh against flesh. It's a spiritual war. Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our battles are in the flesh. They are battling in the flesh. And the devil is rejoicing over this strategy to divide and conquer and create hate.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Divide and conquer. If we unite, I'm going to show you the power of the redeemed believers in Christ. One can chase a thousand.
Yes.
One has authority seated in Christ to chase a thought. Two believers, if any two of you would agree is touching anything, power agreement, two born again adopted sons of God in Christ has authority and power to chase or pull down strongholds of thousands over nations, over cities, over community, over homes, over lives. When they work, Brother Clark and Sister Clark and Sister, other sister with us, our Sister Fanny, when we went into homes where there was demon infestation over people's lives, we warned to flow together, two women and two men, two elders. I know that break your traditions, but like the devil don't care nothing about your little church protocol. He don't care nothing about that junk. We got so many people are hung up on their little church tradition and protocol. That's why the devil don't fear them. He don't fear them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we get united in the things of God, united in faith, and just like heaven is united, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is united. That's why Satan is working havoc in America and over the world, using race, color, ethnic, greed, power. People are fighting over greed and power. What is the war about? Power and greed and money and control. And he got these demons in all of these parties and all these different groups, and they're fighting like dogs, cats, and dogs every day. All over the world, they're doing the same thing in nations. Homes are destroying one another. Children against children, dividing and conquering. Like the 10th chapter of Matthew, daughter against daughter, mother against... He's dividing and conquering. He's using strife, bitterness, wars in the flesh. But the believers who are seated in Christ have a different position to deal with the defeat of the old nature and the old sin nature and over the powers of darkness that's influencing us to divide us and conquer. Look how Putin and the Chinese had divided America, and he's the enemy to America. And that Putin and them Chinese people has divided America through unwisdom of some people and leaders who open us to being destroyed. All right, sister, I've got to give you the last word.
I was listening, and I just think and I praise the Lord because the word, we need to be taught these things in this day and time, because as the word went forth or the conversation went on, that we have to know and come into the knowledge that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we have to know these things so we can equip ourselves. And I've been really getting into Ephesians, the sixth chapter, to be equipped with the full armor of God. And he has been especially dealing with me about the helmet of salvation and the mind, because, you know, that devil, he planted a seed in your mind. And if you just meditate on that seed, it will get in your heart and grow. And so in arming ourselves with the full armor, he's really been, you know, working and teaching me about that helmet of salvation and the mind, the covering of the mind. And also another thing been bringing to me about the precious oil of Jesus. I mean, I've been, you know, praying about the blood, you know, his blood and being under the covering of his blood, but he's got teaching and letting me understand about the precious oil. And I thank the Lord for that.
Yes. Yeah, I've been, I don't know, the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been praying about the anointed oil. It anoints my head with oil. And it's been going on for about 3 weeks, sister. You know how God works things. About 3 or 4 weeks, I've been praying some, but he anoints my head with oil, my eyes, but I said, anoint my head with oil, anoint yourself with oil, anointed oil from heaven. And it's been going on, the anoint my head with precious oil from, and so, you know, the Lord is opening doors to see why we need to understand better the benefits of being anointed with oil from heaven. Thank God. Now, I want to ask you a question here before we, I want to ask this question out to all that out there, nations in many homes, you're fighting demons are over your territory, over your nation. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Demons and principalities over nations and over government, how they're influencing, how they're controlling and manipulating. And we'll talk about these territorial strongmen in the heavens, the demons are ruling over nations. And I want to ask this question. When the angel messenger who has come in our day, the Elias, had brought a word from the Lord, in message 88, he says, verse 35, Satan knows that his time is short and he's going to do everything he can. And he's doing all, Satan is doing all he can to destroy, to deceive, to puff up, and to discourage. But then it tells us, it gives us a command. The angel messenger leaves a word that's spoken in the Bible, in the record, and he comes and says in that angel's message, 88, therefore, come against him, break his yoke by true belief. Obey the Lord's spirit to make witness. Why do you think that he gave us that command, and are we obeying that command?
No, sir, we're not obeying it. Because, you know, we haven't gotten it yet. Come against him by true belief, and stir to the word, and break his yoke.
Oh.
So, no, sir, we have not gotten it, and we are not doing it.
Brother Nate?
Yes, I agree with Sister there. No, we haven't been doing it, and God has given us this command, too, because we have laid down and we have pouted even to the enemy. And God is letting us know that he has given us authority to come against the enemy and not to let the enemy run red shot over our lives.
Amen.
Wow. And the Bible is full of this, but an angel has to come from heaven to remind us of the authority of the believer in Christ, the redeemed. Therefore, this is command. This is an order from the Most High God. Therefore, he's telling the whole church. He ain't just talking to the ministers. He's talking to every redeemed son of God in Christ. Whatever you bind on earth, you'll bind in heaven. That's the whole body of Christ. The angel messenger says in 8:37, therefore, emphasis on the importance of it. This is when you see that it's important. Pay attention. Therefore, he's talking to the whole body of Christ and all Christians that's in Christ, not religious people, not churchgoers, but born again sons of God. Therefore, do what? Do what?
Come against him.
I thought he said, beg or plead.
No, sir.
Oh, he didn't say
that? Come against him. So he's letting us know that we do have the authority to come against that devil.
Wait a minute now, sister. Hold on now. Yes, we just a little church president. We ain't supposed to do that. You're a woman. You're a part of the body of Christ, but you ain't supposed to be. The Lord says, come against him.
Come against him. Yes, sir.
And do what?
Break his yoke by true belief.
Break his yoke.
Triumph over him. Yes, sir. Break his yoke by true belief. True belief.
Okay. And obey the Lord's spirit and study.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
That's what it said. And study the word.
Have we obeyed that command as a believer? Wow, we just got a lot to repent for, don't we?
Sure do. Amen. That's why I ask the Lord to keep me on the daily.
So during this September month of prayer and dedication, we got to repent of that and start obeying the things that we have not obeyed. So I love you with the love of God, and all the women of God, we're praying for you and your home and your children and every nation. And we just want you to know it is the midnight cry. It is time to arise and shine, for Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget, tomorrow we have two broadcasts, Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens at 7 o'clock. And before that, from 6 to 6:30, a 30-minute broadcast with me and Brother Robert Gross. We'll be back once again speaking on the original setup, the way Christ set up for one to enter the kingdom. So praise be to God. Thank God for all you that have been listening. That's for Brother Lee and Brother Nate and Sister Anderson. May God bless you. May God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
Change me, oh God. Make me more.